Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am all in.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, hey everybody, Scott Patterson here, and this is the I Am All In podcast, iHeartRadio 111 Productions. We've got two really special guests coming on at the same time. My old buddy James Pettit from Warner Brothers, he's the head of marketing. And also he's bringing with him a wonderful actor named Carl Wright, who played the Harvard professor in this episode, and I think in one other episode. And so guys, let's get into this episode a little bit. What do you think? Huh?
Yes, I love this episode.
Yeah,
did you already recap it at the beginning? Did I miss anything?
No, you're first up, buddy. You guys are first up.
Oh, good.
So I think I actually wrote this brief synopsis back when I was at the WB Network.
Right.
Wow.
So I will read it quickly. With the wedding canceled, Lorelai is eager to escape the sympathies of everyone in Stars Hollow. So she and Rory take off on a road trip that ultimately leads to Harvard University.
Mm-hmm.
While Rory confronts her dreams of college life, Lorelai ponders what might have been. But there's more. There's this whole thing where she hasn't told you, Luke, about not getting married.
Right, right. You know, I thought the episode started off okay. I did bristle a bit on the Lorelai's criticisms of country music and, you know, this.
Oh, I didn't.
And I was like, no, I know, but it's like, the producer in me was saying, why are you alienating the most popular form of music in the world right now? I didn't get that. And I think that's the iconoclastic nature of the creator. But it's like, as a producer, and I think this is where the studio may have pushed back on her and said, listen, why are we alienating half the world here? We want people to watch the show. We don't want our lead character to trash country music. Because, I mean, there's a lot of great country music. I mean, there's a lot of great rock music. There's a lot of great music, right? In every genre, there's, like, you know, the bad part of it. There's the good part of it. But
I had no idea that Hootie and the Blowfish was country music, because that's what they
said. No, it wasn't. It didn't start out that way. It had maybe a flavor, because I think they're from North Carolina or something. But kind of rock, kind of countryish rock, sort of a little bit. But like Dave Matthews-y kind of stuff. But he became a country star. Darius Rucker became a country star, you know, the last 15
probably
years
after
or so.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, but anyway,
and he's great.
Well, they also said AC/DC Highway to Hell was their song, and I was like, yes, I get that
without question.
For a road trip, that is a good song
without question.
But don't you think that's you know, just the characters? I mean, they wouldn't like where they were. They really wouldn't like, you know, country music.
I think it reveals a Northeastern elitism, snobbishness that is a turnoff to a lot of people.
Yeah,
which can masquerade as somehow appealing. it's like appealing in some way. They're like snooty Northeasterners who hate country music. Well, you know, well, that's so appealing in some form.
That's funny because, okay, watch Gilmore Girls on Wednesday nights on the WB and then watch Reba on Thursdays.
Right.
Reba McEntire.
Right. So I think, you know, probably Lou and Bob, remember? Remember Bob and Lou?
Oh, yeah.
They probably had something to say about it, but it's like, you know, try to get Amy to change dialogue. It's like, guys, you know, do we want to cut out half the country here? It's like, click.
Well, but the engagement was off. Now, that's the point of the whole episode. That engagement to Max.
Are you trying to get me off the subject, James?
I am. I'm like, you're done with country.
There it goes. James is directing the conversation. That's what he does so well.
I want to get to your super pivotal scene that was almost a character change for you. Like, I was like, who is this nice person? But we'll get to that.
All right, we'll get there. But anyway, so the thing that really stuck out to me, other than why are you trashing country music? Because I'm a fan of country music, is it was hard. I think they won the war with just the two of them together. It's like, I kept thinking, are they going to be able to carry the episode? Because nobody else is in the episode. We're not in Stars Hollow. This is unfamiliar territory. So how is this going to be rectified? I mean, this better be some pretty great stuff if we're just going to be spending time with those two. And another thing that I felt, and they did at in places, and I was pretty satisfied most of the way. But another thing that I felt, I thought that fight in the bed and breakfast between mother and daughter was a little forced. I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere, you know. So it felt like it was like, oh, we need them to have some conflict here. And they just kind of forced it on us because it just happened so fast. I mean, Lorelai went from being, and I get it, you know, they're hungry, they haven't eaten, they're going to be snappy. But I mean, that was a brutal fight. What did you think of that? Did you have any kind of opinion on that?
No, I was actually intrigued by their relationship in it. Yeah. I'm like, the certs were a nice throwback for me that she had in her purse that she was going to feed Rory, and that they had like hair or something fuzzy on them. And so the whole like wacky bed and breakfast person that had that Cheshire cat was the name of the place. Mm-hmm. And the Annabelle dolls in the background, you know, those spooky dolls. I just felt like that wacky character could have been out of Stars Hollow, and it fit. So, and we had never met that person before. Her name was like LaDawn or something like that. LaDawn, and I felt like, you know, the relationship was snarky as it usually is, because, you know, they got into the bed and breakfast, they checked into their room, and it was like all these flowers, like Laura Ashley threw up everywhere, and they made fun of it. And I get it. And I would make fun of it too, but they, you know, they didn't want to sleep there at first. And so the fight was like, didn't seem that forced. It just seemed like, to me, it was good. It was fine. I felt
it was a little forced. Yeah. It was like, and Rory had a good point. I mean, it's like, you're my best friend and we can talk about anything. And all of a sudden I want to talk about something. You snap out on me and, you know, just turn your back on me and go to bed and scream at me. And it's like, Jesus. It's like,
Well, that happens sometimes in relationships.
Yeah. I think you find out a lot about people and they act a little bit different when you travel with people. I mean, sometimes you can go places and not, you know, you're friends with somebody all the time, but then when you're with them all day, all night, and you realize, oh, I don't want to go see everything every few minutes. I want to do something a little bit differently. It kind of brings out different aspects of your relationship that you examine differently, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, Scott, that's how I felt about you when I traveled with you.
Did we snap out at each other?
But, and then I was like, I want to do this again. Let's go to Atlanta. Let's go meet your old coach at Atlanta.
Remember yeah. We did that? Yeah, that was great. Yeah, by the way, yeah, they won the World Series.
James is like, what? They yeah. won what?
Yeah.
The World Series ended?
Since 1995, they haven't had a World Series, right?
Right, right.
Congrats.
Why didn't we go to that? We should have went to that game. Like, I take you to the games that are not important, I guess. I guess they're all important. But
I don't think you can get a ticket to the good games.
Hey, they're all good games down there. We had a great time down there. Anyway, congrats to Brian Snitker, the Atlanta Braves, the entire organization. Rest in peace, Hank Aaron. You know, these were people that I signed with originally in 1980. And I came up through their system before they traded me. What a mistake.
Oh, my God. I will never get rid of your baseball card. It's the cutest thing ever.
Okay. But anyway, back to the episode.
You all should try to find Scott's baseball card. It's amazing.
What's it worth right now? Do you know, Scott?
What's buck your baseball $298. Ah, summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, back to the episode. So Melissa McCarthy, I love, is in this episode too, because there's a pivotal moment about her.
Yeah.
Now she's making this wedding cake that Lorelai says, oh, don't worry about the cake. And she's like, oh, okay. And she's actually making it. And it's like four tiers high. And she names it Clyde. And then she's like, you need to tell Luke for me. So she goes to the cafe. Suki goes to the cafe and has to tell you the news. Now, you remember what the news was. It was Max and the wedding's off. But what did you, do you remember that scene in the cafe at all?
I don't remember it, but I was relieved to be back in Stars Hollow as a fan of the show now that I'm seeing. I was like, get me back to Stars Hollow. I like being with these two. You know, they don't want to mix with the bed and breakfast crowd, but they were perfectly nice people. And Rory was trapped by the older couple sitting down, grilling her about her boyfriend and where she's going to college, the whole thing. And they were wonderful actors. They were hysterically funny. But again, this kind of elitism is washing over them where they're too good to talk to normal people. And it's like, how is that appealing? And that's kind of through the lens I was looking at it through. And I know they wanted to get out and they wanted to, you know, they didn't want to get trapped by a group of people but it wasn't that big of a deal. You just, you know, just be nice to people, I guess. I'm getting preachy.
I know. I totally get it. I don't know. But you know what I mean?
So anyway,
we're back in Stars Hollow.
But I like the road trip part of it. It got better for me the closer they get to Harvard. When they finally get to Harvard, that's when the episodes start kicking in for me.
Okay.
Because now we're seeing all the dreams and the aspirations and all that. So what I'm doing is the setup to all that for me was problematic. And I would have, had I been a studio executive or I had been an editor, I would have maybe said, look, can we dial back on this or can we edit this out or something? Because it to protect the characters. Anyway, that's not my job. But now I can voice my opinion. I'm going to get a lot of emails about this. They're not going to be terribly friendly, but that's just how I feel about it. But I really thought the setup was a little bit clumsy, entertaining and funny. Sure. Beautifully acted. Yeah. But now we get to Harvard finally, right? And it's like now it kicks in. All the dreams and aspirations of Rory's future are being breathed with all this fresh Harvard oxygen. And then all of Lorelai's potential from the past is dried up and it's presented to her in those photos of valedictorian of 1990, easy for me to say. And those moments she has looking off like what could have been, and I'm smart and I'm, you know, I'm very bright and I could have done this, but I want this for my daughter. So those were very compelling moments and a lot of great moments with, you know, the moment when Rory went into the class and started discussing stoicism with Carl. What was that like? Tell us about that, Carl.
Well, what I will tell you is that I think I was shooting this on my birthday.
Oh.
So that was kind of cool. But I do remember I was up there doing that speech all day. Like for every single take, every single shot, they needed me to give that speech over and over and over again, at least 100 times.
Yeah.
I did that speech.
Yeah.
So I knew it by heart. And there was a really nice lady who was a makeup woman. I don't remember what her name was. She had like brown hair. She was kind of tall. She came up and she said, "You're so good. You should have your own show." And I said, "Thanks." But they never got my close up. I'm like waiting. I'm like giving up this whole thing.
By the way, Carl, I agree with her. Yes. But they used to tell that to everybody so they wouldn't collapse.
Did she do that?
With all the takes we had to do. They used to tell me that too.
Exactly. You should have your own show.
If we had a director that wouldn't stop doing takes, you know, they'd see you start fading.
Yeah.
And they'd come up and say, "You know what? You're so good. You should have your own show." And you'd perk up a little like, "Isn't she great?" No, I'm kidding. Well, you should. You should.
No, it worked. It worked, though. It kept me going.
Yeah.
It kept me going. So, but there's an interesting thing in this episode that I remember that the other student that she's talking to, the Asian actor, Masioka.
That's Masioka.
That's Masioka
from Heroes.
Right. Wow. So, well, like we had kind of befriended each other because, you know, when you're guest cast, the guest cast hangs out, the main cast hangs out. So we talked and we'd hang out. And then fast forward 3-4 years, he does Heroes and I do Heroes. Ah. And I'm like, wow, he went from being like the last person on the call list to like the biggest part of the whole show.
Right.
And but he was such a really nice guy and really funny. And, you know, that scene was really interesting to watch Alexis do because it was really all her, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember that day, like, people were kind of like giving her space. They were like, don't bother her because she kind of had to do a lot. And but she was really, really nice.
It wasn't that big of a scene. She had a couple of lines of dialogue. It wasn't that big of a scene.
But did a lot of stuff other than that within the campus because we were at UCLA.
Yeah.
That's where that was.
Yeah, obviously UCLA. It wasn't Harvard. It was too sunny.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't have the old, you know, gothic buildings around.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But yeah, they shot a lot of stuff that day. So because we were moving around, and I'm sure you had this all the time, you got to shoot it right, get it right. And I do remember when I auditioned for this, Jamie Radofsky, who I'm actually taking classes with. She told me to tell you hello.
Oh, tell her I said hi. Yeah.
I definitely will. I remember when I went in, just before I went in, she stopped me. She said, just talk as fast as you can. Say it as fast as you can. I said, okay.
Exactly. Okay. The perfect note.
And they were like, great. You got it.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's because it's
that's different than any other show. They don't want you to say it as fast as you can. Mm-mm. So, and that's part of the humor of the show that just works. It's so cool.
Well, they've got 80 pages of black ink, which is all dialogue to fit into what, 40 minutes? Because you're doing 20 minutes of commercials, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that's 40 minutes. You got to get 80 pages.
41
minutes. So you got to talk twice as fast as anybody else on any other show.
And hey, James, has it changed in syndication? They still have the same amount of time?
Same amount. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It's not longer or shorter.
Yeah.
Same. Okay. Yes. And it's on Up TV, America's cable network.
So anyway, so they go to Harvard. They have all those great moments, right? And we now see that Rory is capable of handling Ivy League, an Ivy League education. She's a junior now. At this point, she's a sophomore or junior.
She's a junior.
Is she a junior? We're gonna get fact checked on this. Like you,
I'm pretty sure because.
We're gonna
Isn't that when Lane sent off to Korea and she comes back in this episode?
Yes. So is she a sophomore?
I think it was really early. I think she had 2 more years.
This might be sophomore.
I think she's a sophomore. Yeah. She's got 2 more years in high school. So there she is as a sophomore in a Harvard class, you know, discussing, what is it, a philosophy class? Discussing Stoicism.
Yeah. Which I had never heard of before.
And being corrected by you. You corrected her.
I did. I'll just say this real quickly. I researched what that is. I wrote out the script so I knew it back and forth. I knew who this character was. This man, I can't even think of his name right now. But back then, I knew it backwards and forwards, and I could have said even more if I had to, just in case, because I knew this was like a big deal. So
right. Just in case you had to improv, which was never going to happen on that show.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But it has happened on others.
We had a kid come in the diner. He had one line. Some young kid. He's energetic, nice kid, good actor. Came in and he started doing a whole monologue. He thought it was his big chance. And he did this in rehearsal.
Oh, wow.
And I tried to warn him. I said, listen, you're a nice kid and everything, but don't do that. Okay. Because they're just going to. cut it and then they're going to not hire you again. And it's like, don't just come say the line, do that. And then first take came, he did his whole monologue again. He really just, you know, he was so busting out with energy. And I just said, guy, you can't do that. You just got to say the line.
That's wasting time, which wastes money on set.
Which we didn't have. We didn't have huge amounts of money and we didn't have huge amounts of time. We had time, but the time was expensive, you know.
I remember.
And that was when it was still film.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Working on the lot.
Good point.
Working on the Warner Brothers lot. Gilmore Girls was the very last show always to wrap every night.
Yeah.
Like we would be doing Friends episodes that sometimes went to like 10, 11 p.m.
Right.
And then drive out, like leave. And you all still had camera set up, still going.
Yeah.
Every night.
Batman would leave, you know, the films with Ocean's 11 would leave. We would still be there. It's like we'd wave goodbye to Brad Pitt. Bye. We're going to be here for another couple hours. Bye. See ya.
Scott, can I ask you like what it was like to have all that copy? I mean, you didn't start. Did you start off as an actor?
What do you mean? Did I start off?
When you came from baseball, did you always like want to be an actor?
Oh, no. For me, it was always writing. And then after baseball, I moved to New York and studied and had a theater company and the whole thing. So I was prepared.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what I was doing. I was trained and somewhat professional, I'd like to say.
Super professional.
But the dialogue wasn't daunting to me because I'd been doing Shakespeare for several years. And, you know, if you can tackle that, you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I always recommend young actors to do and actresses is do get nail your Shakespeare, because if you can do that, there's nothing more challenging.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not even terribly challenging once you understand the story, because there's such an emotional logic to the dialogue, Shakespeare's dialogue, that it's easy to remember. It sticks with you. Of course, you have to do it over and over and over again. But I mean, once you've got it, you've got it. I mean, you know, I can still recite some of those long speeches from Hamlet. And it's been 20 years since I even thought about it. So,
wow.
That wasn't the problem. I think that's probably how I got the job.
Yeah.
Is the facility with the dialogue. Cause I went in there and just sort of nailed. It was not a big deal. I think other actors went in and they maybe struggled a little bit with the pace and the whole thing. So for me, it wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, so we're back. So where are we in the episode now?
Okay, so we're at campus. Lorelai is like living her what could have been moment.
Right.
And she gets hit on by like a college student.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Did you not love that?
That was hysterical.
I loved that. God, I thought that was so pithy and like fun.
See, that's Lauren Graham at her best. You know, it's like she did that happened for her. A couple of those scenes happened like with the girls in the hallway. You know, when she did that shtick,
which she was like, and then Lauren
Lauren at her best.
Lori says, "Mom, your college gab comes from Happy Days and Valley Girl."
Right.
It's so
right.
Like
your college.
It was so funny, and those girls could not like leave her fast enough. They were leave. You're just a weirdo.
Right. So. And then they go and invade that girl's empty room and say, no, go in there. I want to take a picture of you like studying at Harvard. And she's like a machine. She's like a robot that won't stop. And it's just hysterical. And then Rory puts her pencil up for the picture. She goes, what, you're writing on air? What are you doing?
That's
you're writing
it,
in
yes.
the air?
Oh my gosh. I loved it.
It was great.
And then, okay. So, but meanwhile, back at Stars Hollow, Scott is serving coffee. Luke is serving coffee to our little Sean Gunn, and he is having 8 refills. I think it was 8 refills, and you were very upset about this.
Well, I'm in a bad mood, right? I'm in a bad mood. I lost my woman.
I'm taking it
out on poor Sean Gunn, who's actually giving me a lot of business. But wait a minute, these are free refills, right? I don't think he's paying for him.
No, he's not.
Nuh-uh.
And news has not got to you yet.
That's right.
The wedding's off. The whole town knows, but you don't know.
I do not know. Yeah, they rode back in and, you know, people were sort of waving their hankies at him. And Sean says, do you need a hug? The whole deal.
And then you had your pivotal moment, at least in my mind, where we got to see a different side of you and you sparked up and you were like sweet and not grumpy and mm-hmm. just really happy.
Told the guy I liked his hat. Yeah, sure.
Like, oh my gosh. And you gave him as many free cups of coffee as he wanted.
Yeah.
It was really nice seeing. You just like totally changed. I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, then I wanted you with her. Like, I was like, I'm all in for her and Luke. That's what I'm all about.
Right.
Because I was a Max fan. You know, I was, you know, yeah. I wanted her to have love. We all want love. And I wanted her to have it.
Had I known that at the time, James, when we were traveling together, I think we would have had a problem.
Oh, well, I bet we'll have a little problem after this, but that's okay. It's okay. Come on. You got to love. Come on, Scotty boy.
I guess you do. Yeah, I do.
Scott, you seem okay. Like when he's giving you these compliments, you seem just the slightest bit uncomfortable. How did you feel about that scene?
Well, there's another scene that he's very okay. important, and it's okay. the hoopa on the lawn that you build for them.
Hoopa,
and it's a beautiful wood carved
hoopa.
How you say it?
Hoopa.
Hoopa.
Hoopa. Hoopa.
You said hoopa.
Oh, hoopa. Say it again.
Hoopa.
Chuppa.
Thank you, Carl, yeah. Professor.
You're welcome.
Carl. No. Yes. So you build this and you carve it, and there's like goats on it and uh-huh. like weird little ribbons that uh-huh. you've carved into the wood, and it's beautiful. Well, you didn't really do it, but here's the thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful gesture, and she comes back to tell you what? Remember? She's not going to like get rid of it. She's going to keep it.
Right. She'll keep, because I said, I'll come in the morning and move it, or I'll move it now. I'll get it out of the yard. And I didn't move it. And I hit myself in the head like, oh, I'm sorry. You had to come back and see that. And the reminder of what could have been with Max and the whole thing. So he was being very self-deprecating, I guess, at that point.
So sweet. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, it's good writing. What can you say?
Right. I know. So
we just try not to screw up the lines and not run into the furniture. Right. That's our job.
Now, do you remember the other pivotal moment in this episode is where Lorelai calls Suki after she makes that giant cake she names Clyde. Right. And she asks you, like, how do you get a business loan?
Right. She comes in. Yeah. She finally comes in and there's that scene. Yeah. It's very nice. Yeah, it was a nice tender scene between those two where, you know, the feelings are very raw and he's very relieved mm-hmm. and he's feeling like he's feeling lucky. You know, I don't think he feels lucky a lot. Like he dodged I think it's one of those moments where he, you know, he didn't want to admit to himself how devastated he was. But once she's back on the market, he's like so happy, so relieved because he's got maybe another shot.
Well, yeah. And now, can you please make a move? Thank you. I know it's in the writing. It's supposed to go for episodes and episodes, but come on.
Well, now that you put it that way, I think I will. I think I will for you. Okay. I'll go back in there.
You do.
We get to watch them all differently now. We'll go back and it'll have changed. Yeah, man.
What? Oh, my God. I just.
A really fun episode.
I don't even remember filming these scenes. I do not remember filming this stuff. It's like you work so often and you're working your short-term memory, right? And because you have to, right? You got to clear out the junk to be able to retain the new stuff the next day. I don't remember any of this shooting, any of this stuff. And I'm watching it like, is that really me? So it's an odd experience. I mean, it's kind of great because it's so far removed from when it happened that I'm not sort of, you know, I'm not so hypercritical of it as I normally would be. But thank you for your kind words. It's they were all nice scenes to shoot with Lauren. They were all tender and nice and, you know, fraught with tension and fraught with love. And, you know, it's very nice experience. Yeah. And then how do we wrap up the episode here?
Well, she goes home and mom is like, oh,
oh God,
what do you have to tell me? You're showing me all these photos on a projector. I hate projectors.
That was great.
I'd rather have them in a pile of photos or whatever mom was saying. Great. And then she has to tell her mom that the wedding's off finally too. And mom gets upset.
All right.
And Lorelai only wants to know what the gift is that mom got her.
Right.
Like, so she's like, what did you get me? Did you get me iced teaspoons? Because you can't have enough iced teaspoons and iced teaspoons.
Right.
Like that fun dialogue that always happens on the show. And I don't think we find out what that gift is.
We do not. I don't think we will. Well, maybe we will. But very funny scene between those two. It kept going off camera too. it was supposed to be over and then they kept going. It was great. So Carl, tell us about your experience working on the show and compared to other shows that you did. I know you've touched on it lightly, but go into it a little more about the being Gilmore-ized.
Well, I will say that this was probably my first big role, being on Gilmore Girls. And it was also the first time I got to play a teacher, because I came from a family of teachers. So it was like a big deal that I got to actually play a teacher finally. But it was definitely one of those jobs where I felt like this is a step up because there is a rhythm to the show. You've got to match what they do. It's not just you come in and you say your plot points, but this was actually dynamic working with other people. And I was leading the scene. I got to lead the scene. And that was really exciting for me to get to do that. And they said when I left, well, you know, she's got to go to college. Maybe you'll get to come back. Maybe you get to come back. And lo and behold, 2 years later, they did call me. So I did get to go back. But that's another show because they said I ended up working for a different college. I was her professor at Yale as well. And
that's believable. You could have, you know. Maybe they didn't tenure you at Harvard.
Everybody said, no, that really wouldn't happen. You wouldn't go from Harvard to Yale.
It wouldn't happen? Sure. Yeah,
that's what people told me.
They really?
Said, nope, wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I don't know.
Wow.
But I was just glad that they even thought to bring me back and do it. And, you know, it definitely felt like kind of a family thing to be in that community of the show, because you guys are just working so tightly together and it's got to work so fast. It was very cool. It was really cool.
All right, guys, you ready to play rapid fire?
Oh, ooh. My God. It's a game.
I love games.
Do you want to sing a country song first?
I love my wedding was a game show.
I showed up in boots.
I actually did. I've written a country song. Hang on. I did write a country song.
Thank you. That's what I want to hear. Sing it to me. Bravo!
I forgot the words. It's a new one.
Maybe we should put that song at the top of the show. No, never mind.
No, I already have a song that I wrote and recorded as a theme song to the podcast.
Always producing, James.
Oh, I love that that theme song on this show.
On my show.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
I love it.
Yeah, that's my song.
Oh, is that you singing?
Yes.
I didn't know you had like a tenor voice. That's really nice.
Thank you.
I didn't. Wow. Sing out, Louise. Very nice. Okay, give me some rapid fire.
Some rapid fire?
Yeah, give me some.
You ready? All right, you guys, we're going to have to do this together with both of you, right? So
yeah,
you both have to answer at the same time.
Is it about this episode or just in general?
I'm not telling you anything.
It could be about baseball. You'll win.
It's not about baseball. All right, you ready?
All right, JP.
Rapid fire. You have to answer these questions as fast as you possibly can. Ready? Here we go. How do you take your coffee? Go.
Cream and sugar. Right.
Can you smell snow?
S-N-O-W.
Smell.
Oh.
Not spell.
When it's melting, yes.
Certainly I can't hear. Can you smell snow?
Snow.
You can.
Are you team Logan, Jess, or Dean?
Quickly,
rapid fire.
Jess.
Kevin?
Logan.
Best, who's the daddy?
You are.
Best memory of Gilmore Girls.
I'll go with that question. I'll go with that answer too.
You have an adorable son and he likes the Olivia the pig. Am I wrong?
Best memory of Gilmore Girls?
Best memory of Gilmore Girls.
I do have an adorable son.
Who's you Olivia? Do have an adorable son.
Who's
and he likes that and he likes Olivia the pig.
Who's
remember?
Who's Olivia the pig?
It was this
It's a book with the little girl who is the little girl pig and she likes to sing.
Oh gosh. You know, he reads like 3 books a day now.
Wow.
Oh,
he's just like
goodness.
It's like what's yeah. He's got that in his collection, he does.
Yeah.
We've got
I told him he wants to go to MIT. So I said,
How old is he now?
He's 7.
You can't go to MIT at 7. Is he young Sheldon or something? What's going on?
Another WB plug there, ladies and gentlemen.
What's your best memory of Gilmore Girls? One at a time. Go.
Traveling with you.
Thank you.
Honestly.
Mine too. With you.
Oh.
Go ahead, Kevin.
My best memory is watching those two work together. Watching Alexis and Lauren work together.
Right.
It really felt like mom and daughter in your life.
It's impressive. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that's when I first got to Toronto to film my stuff for the pilot, I got to the set a little early, and I've said this before, but I'll say it to you. I saw those two rehearsing a scene in the diner before I went into hair and makeup, and I thought, boy, this is going to work. This show's really going to work. If these two are carrying it, yes, this is going to work.
And Alexis was so young at the time, right?
Yeah.
She was just like 14 or 15.
18.
Oh, she's 18 now.
She was a freshman at NYU. I'm sorry. Was she a freshman at Tisch School?
Okay.
I think she was in film school or something. I don't know. Show you're binge watching right now.
Murders in the Building or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Succession.
Oh, Brian Cox. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the banter between the family.
An old friend, Brian, brilliant actor. He was, there's a film he did a long time ago, a Scottish film called Hidden Agenda, where he was just marvelous in it. He's good in everything. Cast member you texted most recently.
From Gilmore Girls?
Cast member, yes.
Keiko Agena.
Yeah.
I had to text her because she's hosting with... Todd
right.
Lowe,
right.
The Up TV Gilmore the right. Merrier Binge-a-thon this
right.
Thanksgiving.
Again, I'm out of a job.
No, you did it for 3 years, and you'll be back again.
You know, yeah. Bill just texted me.
From Up TV?
Yeah, but he's not there anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
I worked with a new crew, but I enjoyed them very much.
Yeah, those great people there. Anyway,
they love your show, by the way. And
oh, cool. Cool.
They are Gilmore Girls all the way.
Cool.
You know, they air 4 episodes a night.
Is that all? Weekend. Just 4?
4. That's a lot.
That's back to back, right?
That's 4 hours back to back.
Yes.
2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Maybe we'll do a podcast with them. You know, maybe we should do a podcast.
Yeah, you might.
Do a whole thing. All right.
I was going to say I texted Jamie. She's the casting director.
Jamie Rudofsky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's cool, Carl.
Jamie came on with Mara to cast the show season two on. Yeah. One word to describe Gilmore Girls.
Uplifting.
Clever.
Clever and uplifting. There you go. Are you familiar with the creepy clown pillow?
Am I familiar with a creepy clown?
Obviously, neither of you two gentlemen, you two fine gentlemen, are not familiar with the creepy clown pillow. Nor was I, and I don't know if I want to be familiar with it. It's just a thing in Lorelai's house, in the couch. There's a creepy clown pillow that they keep moving around, and it's, you know, the fans get a kick out of spotting it, and now we're kind of finding it in a lot of episodes, and it's in different positions, and it's kind of a fun thing. Yeah.
I was at Harvard. I don't know.
I don't know of such silly pillow games.
I didn't remember
low
that.
IQ individuals. That's
right. I did go as Pennywise for Halloween.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the hit clown.
Where did you go? Did you go to a Warner Brothers party?
No. The children come to the house and you scare them.
Oh, you were doing that whole bit.
Yes. Oh, they want the candy. They come to the porch and you give them the candy.
I understand the ritual. I did it too.
Yeah. Have you heard of Halloween?
It's the Halloween. Oh,
it's Halloween. Okay.
So I hand out turkey legs on Thanksgiving. I'm sitting there waiting like an idiot. nobody comes to the door.
No way. I was Morpheus from Matrix.
Nice.
And I had a white bag that had a blue pill on the front or a red pill. They had to pick which bag they wanted candy from.
Oh my gosh, you must be so excited for the movie.
That's great.
I am. Yeah.
What did your son come as, Scott, for Halloween?
Nick went as the ghost from Scream. He had a regular ghost mask and he had a mask, same ghost mask that you could make bleed.
Oh, in the face? Like,
yes, in the face. It had a tube and a bladder full of fake blood, and he squeezed it. And so, you know, I was Johnny food poisoning at that point. And and what happened here? The screen. There's the clown pillow.
That's the
clown. Easton, thank you.
That is creepy.
That penny. Creepy. Okay, Amy Sugarman is showing a picture
of the creepy clown pillow
with a clown pillow in the background.
Yeah.
And it looks like Pennywise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like dolled up. Like Pennywise being cute, not Pennywise being coarse.
Right. But anyway, so I was left home alone with my recovering from my food poisoning and answering the door and giving people candy.
Like, how did you get food poisoning? Or did you already talk about that on a different episode?
Bad. I had an expired turkey slice.
Oh,
yeah, at lunch.
That's not good.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And so Nick won. He got scariest costume at the, you know, they went and trick or treated, and they had this big stage set up in an auditorium, and they had contests and a whole thing after the trick or treat. It was a big event. And so my wife's sending me this video of Nick going up on stage and talking and being scary in his costume and other kids going up doing stuff. And I'm saying, what's going on with this? I thought he went trick-or-treating. And then she sent another video where he's like receiving a golden statue. He's like, he got this huge trophy for scariest costume and everybody applauding him. He came home and he wouldn't let go of it. He went to sleep with it. He was so happy.
Yeah, the Scream costume with blood dripping on a 7-year-old is pretty darn scary.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. 7 years old and you got animatronics or you got moving things, parts. That's impressive.
But he really owned it. He like went up on stage during the competition and he was like, he got into his scary position. He went, ah, it's like a ghost would scream, right? So he won.
But he hasn't seen it, right? He's never seen
it.
No. Not yet. Yeah. I mean, it is coming out in theaters, another version of it.
Right, they're going to do a reboot, yeah.
Yeah.
God, nobody's doing that. It's amazing. They're the first ones.
I forgot to mention my Pennywise was a Pennywise in drag. So she had long red hair, really 6-inch heels. She was crazy. So the children were a little confused and scared.
It's psychologically.
But James, you've won your share of Halloween costumes in the past.
Oh, at Warner Brothers, yes. There's a Halloween party, and I like to participate. So I like to dress up different every year, and it's usually a Warner Brothers character that you go as. Oh, I should have went as Luke one year. I saw a lot of people on your Instagram, Scott, like went as you, and that was awesome.
We have a contest every year, so it's they're dressing up their dogs, their little kids. It's very cute, and a lot of people participate. We give them free coffee. For, you know, we pick 10 winners and send them some free coffee. It's really
some
fun.
Some Scotty P's Big Mug Coffee.
Some Scotty P's Big Mug Coffee, buddy. Yes.
Which I gotta get for my daughter. My daughter's 15 and she's all into coffee right now.
So I think we're gonna probably send you a bag because you're on the show. Do. You're on the show.
I love that.
James, how many bags? I sent you the whole lineup, didn't I?
Yeah,
get a whole boatload? You got a whole boatload.
Yes. And then remember, like after the first year, we changed it and added that ingredient that helps you go potty better.
What?
You told me that we were adding an ingredient.
The secret. That was a secret, James.
Oh,
you weren't supposed to say anything.
What are you talking about?
Something
no, it doesn't help
show.
You go potty better. The cascara.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
God, I'm telling you, it helps you go potty better.
It does?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's fiber. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's nutrients and fiber. It's the fruit that grows around the coffee bean on the tree that's usually discarded. And we grind it up and add it to breakfast blend and house blend. And it's full of nutrients and iron and great stuff. You know?
And fiber.
Fiber.
The phrasing was funny.
I know.
Didn't you add that stuff to it that makes you go potty?
Oh, I couldn't remember the name of it. Oh, I knew.
I knew I was going to have fun today. I knew it.
Oh, good. We had a lot of fun too. Thank you for inviting us. That was so nice of you and Amy Sugarman. Oh,
huh? Don't you love her? Huh?
God.
What a ball club.
She
lit up like a Christmas tree when I mentioned your name, by the way.
Oh.
She did.
Yeah, well, Amy Sugarman and I go back to our Gilmore days.
I know.
She was around working on radio.
Right.
And I would have to call her to get you booked on Ryan Seacrest's show back then.
Right, right, right.
So that's how the marketing all works behind the scenes.
We've come full circle.
And we're still good friends, and anything that she wants, we will always do. Same goes for you.
Oh, you're the best, buddy. You're absolutely the best. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Pleasure meeting you, Carl. Thank you.
You too. See you guys.
See ya.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, Carl. Bye, James.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Okay, everybody, we're back. Wasn't that fun? James and Carl, fantastic conversation with those two gentlemen. And we're gonna chop it up a little more with the ladies here. Danielle Romo, Riley Palouses, Amy Sugarman, who I believe
I'm a little bit fired up.
She's very fired up. I think she's got some hair treatment going on. There's something happening.
I don't have my camera on because I have hair color on my hair. So I love James. I love James Pettit. I've known him as long as you have.
He's the best.
Over 20 years. Ugh. But I disagree. Scott, I agree with you.
Yeah.
That I thought the Rory Lorelai fight in the flowery bed and breakfast bedroom was random.
Yep.
It was so aggressive. It was, and I get it because Lorelai's upset and doesn't want to talk about it, but it was almost like she was mad at Rory. Mm-hmm. It was like, so I wanted to have a little bit of a conversation. I understand why James liked it because it was a fun sort of scene to watch, but it was really aggressive. Like Lorelai was so mad at Rory, and when she could have just said, I'm still having such a hard time with this, I don't want to talk about it, but she was so angry.
I think you make a choice as an actor, right? You live the given circumstances of the piece, of the material that's handed to you, and you analyze it and you make your choices based on that. And I think that's a situation where maybe Lauren said, if she wasn't given the direction to do that, and I think there's also another reason, okay? There's a couple of reasons. Maybe Lauren said, okay, we haven't eaten. That can have adverse effects on personality and temper and that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm going to justify the snap, okay? And so, okay, so that's one category.
Okay, I agree with you. I get it.
That can happen. It's happened to me. When I'm starving, man, and you know, when you get hangry, that might be hangry right there.
Yes.
Okay. That might be a clearly beautifully portrayed hangry scene.
Right. Man cannot live on certs alone.
Where it just flips on you in an instant. You don't want to talk about it and turn off the damn light. Yeah. I'm going to bed. Bye. It also could be a hangry thing and a tired thing for Lauren in the moment when there's too many takes being asked to do. It's repeat, 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 repeat. And then you can get frustrated. And I've been there too. I think I've made some choices based on that. And it's sort of, you try not to let it influence you, but you know, you start feeling manipulated by the director, and it's like too many takes, and it's like, you ask, hey, what do you need? And it's like, I've kind of given you everything I have. And maybe she was in a situation where the director was asking too much of her, asking her to repeat herself too many times, and she just got pissed. Right? It's possible.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
The writing was aggressive. So it was like, it was meant for her to be kind of mad.
You can interpret.
Oh, you think she could have played it? That's interesting.
You can interpret that any way you want. You could interpret it with loving, gentle care, quiet. You can pop at it. You can go, you know, wild. There's a million different directions you can go with it. If the director wants a fight, they're going to have to give him a fight. You know what I mean? If that's the direction. So I don't know. You know, it's like.
Rory stayed calm. She was much more relaxed or loving or calm about it, and really seemed to be coming from a place of like, this is a huge thing and I think we should talk about it. Like, you're just ignoring it or pretending it didn't happen. Or like, I agree that the scene was important, but it was weird. Like, it was like, I remember just watching it and writing down, whoa, that was like their biggest fight ever, and Rory didn't even do anything.
I don't think it needed the anger.
Yeah, I agree.
You get the point of the scene. You get she's devastated. You get that she's in a confused place. That she's conflicted about walking away from Max and all that, and where her life's going to go, and that kind of a thing. But I don't.
Lorelai seemed less angry at Rory when she fell asleep at Miss Patty's with Dean and didn't come home. Right. She was so mad at her when it was like, what? All she's trying to do is sort of talk to you. And then the next morning, I think Rory says something like, hey, about last night. And Lorelai's like, we're good. And I remember going, we're not good. We're not
good. Yeah, why? It's like, you know, there needs to be an apology there.
Yes, I thought so too. Yeah. I was like, whoa. So I just thought that was interesting. Not that I didn't like it, but I agreed with you. Like, it's interesting to see how James was watching it, and it didn't, he just kind of enjoyed that as a part of it.
Well, he does work at Warner Brothers. He's a tough dude. He's got a thicker skin than we do. Maybe we're just too sensitive for this type of work. Who knows? I have been accused of that before.
I liked the antics of the bed and breakfast and how weird it was. And yeah, that was the like amazing Susan Rattan playing older lady talking to Rory, who I love from L.A. Law. So I liked all that. And the, you know, just the weird like bed and breakfast lady. Right. But I agree, that scene in the bedroom was oddly crazy.
Yeah.
I thought you got it right.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm directing that episode, I'm taking that scene in a different direction.
I agree. I was like, whoa. Now, I wasn't as bothered by, I love country music. I wasn't as bothered by them kind of mocking country music. But James made a great point that they're supposed to be listening to this radio station that only has country music, and then they're playing Hootie and the Blowfish. Like, it was all just a little like random, but I agree. I totally got what you were saying. It's like, why did they just rip on country music?
I don't understand.
I think you kind of nailed it. Like, they're from this East Coast town.
But that's the mentality. You know, people rip on country music in the Northeast. Now, not so much, because it's really become, you know, it's changed.
I agree. I didn't know if we were looking at it through the lens of today, where as opposed to 20 years ago, people would more make fun of country music. I mean, more like 30 years ago, I would say 40 years ago, where it was like, I lost my girlfriend and my dog ate my whatever. You know what I mean? But it's not like that.
Yeah, everybody, you know, living in the big cities, making fun of country folks. And now everybody in the big cities are pouring into the country, desperate to get out of the big cities. I guess they're not making fun of them anymore.
Is that true? Yeah. And I do think, you know, I know we've got to get to pop culture, but I do think that scene between you and Lauren was so, I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, you were amazing. They really are bonding. And it was the first time, well, maybe not the first time, but one of the times where Luke really is the boyfriend. You go to the boyfriend to ask about his advice about opening your own business and wanting his support. And you were really there to help her. And you're like, hey, let's find some time and we'll really talk about this. And it was like such the conversation that a married couple would have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you were like, wow. And again, I guess the best way to say it is like Luke is always taking care of her. He's always there for her. And she allows it. Mm-hmm. Unlike Max, who she was like, you have no role here. Like Luke has a role.
Yeah, I'm now beginning to see the scope of this relationship and the importance it has in the show. Even though you don't see me a lot, it's one of the pillars, I would say. I don't know. I just feel really lucky to have gotten that role. And the more episodes I watch, I'm like, boy, did I get lucky doing this role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know. I really fell into something. Yeah.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, everybody, it's Scott Patterson. Oh, well, they know who I am at this point, so I don't have to keep saying that throughout the whole thing. We did get the memo from the fans, like, shut up. So I'm not going to say it I say it 8 times. That's Scott Patterson.
Oh my God.
It's like, please stop doing that.
We're not editing this. Leave that. So good. I know
what they're doing. The fans know. We try to give the fans what they want. I was about to launch into that. I just need to do it once. At the top of the show, end of the show. I don't need to do it 8 times in between. We got the memo. Thank you, fans. We love you.
You barely need to do it once because they clicked on the podcast, so they know. But once is definitely.
But it's. I like doing it.
It's fine.
It's fun to do it.
You can remind people.
I feel like Ed McMahon and Johnny Carson all rolled into the one. And here's Johnny. You know, this kind of thing. I don't know.
It's fine. Do it again right now. Do it.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it.
Are you going to introduce Riley?
Hey, everybody, this is Scott Patterson. This is the ILN. I can't even say it anymore. You know who I'm channeling for that? Seacrest.
Oh.
I'm channeling Seacrest.
Nice.
With his American Idol trumpeting.
Yeah, it's good.
And this is your American Idol. This kind of thing.
Good.
He's so good. He always made it very exciting to watch, even more exciting to watch a show. Anyway, this is off the point.
He's very smooth, very smooth.
Very smooth cat. All right. So, Riley, you're going to bring us into pop culture.
I am.
And she's becoming so big now. She's like really blowing up and achieving the superstar status that we have nurtured her for. And let me tell you something. We scouted her years ago. We brought her up through our farm system, and she's really performing at the big league level.
And she's just dropping knowledge.
It's amazing.
That's who was watching me?
Oh, yeah. That's who was watching you the whole time. All the physicians were wrong. You're not paranoid.
All right, let's do it, people. Let's do it. The people are waiting.
Yeah, no, they're waiting. We're going to do it. Riley, you're on. Hello.
I'm going off of Scott's cue. I'm Riley, and this is your pop culture. First, we have Lorelai and Rory are driving, and Lorelai needs her tunes. Lorelai says, "Never been in this car for any extended period of time without playing AC/DC. I need my Highway to Hell." Radio says, "Coming up, a three-way song superset from Hootie and the Blowfish." AC/DC is an Australian rock band formed in Sydney 1973 by Scottish-born brothers Malcolm and Angus Young. In November 2009, AC/DC were announced as the Business Review Weekly top Australian earner in entertainment. They raked in a sweet $105 million for the financial year and knocked the Wiggles from their number one spot.
Can you imagine getting your voice that high? That
No, but are you more of a Highway to Hell or a Back in Black?
All of it. All of it. I mean, AC, you can't get enough of it. But that voice.
I'm not going to lie, Riley. I'm more.
What?
Hootie and the Blowfish. I'm more Hootie and the Blowfish. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, go ahead. Riley, go ahead.
Hootie and the Blowfish is an American rock band that was formed in Columbia, South Carolina in 1986. The band went on hiatus in 2008 until they announced plans for a full reunion tour in 2019. Lead singer Darius Rucker, I love Darius Rucker, is a very successful solo country artist with hits like Wagon Wheel and All Right.
Very successful. Very successful country artist. Country music rules. It is the biggest. It's the biggest category that has the biggest listener base all categories in music. Huge.
But
massive.
You guys remember in Jerry Maguire when Cuba Gooding Jr. is walking through the airport and the kid says, "Are you Hootie?"
That is the best.
Keep going.
That was in the film?
You too young for Jerry Maguire? Do you guys not know Jerry Maguire?
I'm way too young.
The human head weighs 8 pounds.
Wait. Yes, you guys. Dude, go watch Jerry Maguire. Are you Hootie?
Is Jerry Maguire where you had me at?
Yes.
You had me at Hello. Is that the one? And then Show Me the Money.
Yes.
Show Me the Money, and you had me at Hello. Yeah, I saw that.
You had me at hello is really the I am all in of Jerry Maguire. Do you feel me?
They're on the romantic side. See, it had a line for the men. It had a line for the women. Show me the money is for the guys. You had me at hello. It was for the women.
Show me.
You do it, girl. You did that.
Sorry, Riley. So sorry.
I wake up and say the same thing every morning, so it's fine.
You had me at hello.
No, show me the
do
money.
You say that to the pizza. Who says it's the pizza delivery guy? You had me at hello.
Lorelai and Rory stop to get food while on the road. Lorelai says she would make her imaginary tour bus at Hayden stop at Hayden's Nut House every time. Rory says, wow, you're behind the music. It's going to be really wild. Behind the Music is a documentary television series on VH1. Each episode profiles and interviews a popular music group. And on the series, MC Hammer famously detailed how he squandered his fortune on bad investments and overspending, leaving the rapper bankrupt and abandoned by his so-called friends.
Bought too many houses.
And too much of an entourage.
Oh, God. What do they actually pay those people? You pay them?
They put them all on the payroll. You start putting your friends like, you'll be my security. You'll be my driver. You'll be my this. And then all of a sudden you're broke.
Because the accountants say you got to create deductions. So bring your friends on, pay them. We can deduct everything. But then it becomes like too much. Then you try to fire people.
An accountant or much as the friends saying like, hey, too legit to quit. Give me a job.
And they're doing such a good job because he's, you know.
Unmolested. You want to help your friends. But then you can get in a pickle.
You know how you help your friends? You teach them how to help themselves. You teach them how to fish. You don't give them a fish. You know what I mean?
Lorelai says she knows someone that owns a B&B in Portsmouth. Rory says, a cool B&B? Lorelai says, yes. Rory says, that's like saying an understated Nicolas Cage movie. Nicolas Cage is an American actor and filmmaker. Nicolas has been in movies from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Gone in 60 Seconds, Matchstick Men, and National Treasure, and all are over the top.
Riley, what? I'm sorry to interrupt, but you've missed the best Nicolas Cage movies, The Rock. Con Air.
Great.
Like, I don't even know what's happening.
The Rock, he was hysterical. That was amazing. It was hysterical. He was hysterical.
I agree.
And Honeymoon in Vegas. Did you mention Honeymoon in Vegas? Huh?
This is awesome.
Hello? Can we get a room?
Come on, Riley. Huh? Riley, come on.
I just focus on National Treasure 1 and 2.
Honeymoon in Vegas is not his Oscar. He got the Oscar.
No, he got it for leaving Las Vegas.
No. Is that what it was called? With Elizabeth Shue?
He's an alcoholic. Yeah. Elizabeth Shue,
So much Vegas, so much Vegas.
He didn't even have to act. Sorry. He didn't have to act.
Sorry, Riley.
It's like, I'll be here on a lounger by the pool, hungover, just film me.
Cage shared with reporters that he once was victimized by someone who had broken into his Orange County home. He says, I opened my eyes and there was a naked man wearing my leather jacket eating a fudgesicle at the front of my bed.
Wow.
Very weird.
I have an alibi for that night. a lot of people say I look like him. Like 30 years ago, people thought I was him all the time. Nick Cage.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was Nick Cage. I got Nick Cage all the time. All the time. Isn't that wild? We have kind of the same profile.
Welcome to The Rock. I can't do a Sean Connery. Can you do a Sean Connery, Riley? Welcome to The
Sean Connery. Welcome to The Rock. Lorelai and Rory are in the flower-filled room at the B&B, and Lorelai says, okay, I think we just found the first room in the history of the world that would have made Liberace say, whoa, step back, no one's that gay.
That was a good line.
Well, the flowers were moving with the tinfoil. Mm-hmm. Liberace was an American pianist, singer, and actor. Liberace's house had a music theme, musical notes on the iron fence, musical staffs above the front door, and his famed piano-shaped swimming pool. During a Pittsburgh show in the late 1963, Liberace was rushed to the emergency room from after collapsing. His costume, which he had cleaned himself with carbon tetrachloride prior to the show, leached the chemicals into his skin.
Jeez.
I know.
What a thing.
And Michael Douglas portrayed Liberace in 2013 Behind the Candelabra, also starring Matt Damon.
I missed that one. I didn't.
It's excellent. It's really good.
Really? I missed that one.
Lorelai and Rory are fighting about the engagement, and Lorelai says, "Rory, stop it. We're not going to have this fight in a flowery bedroom with dentists singing gypsies, tramps, and thieves in the background. It's too David Lynch." David Keith Lynch is an American filmmaker, painter, visual artist, musician, and writer. He always buttons the top button of his shirt because he feels too vulnerable with the top button open. He had lunch every day at Bob's Big Boy in Los Angeles for 7 years, ordering a chocolate milkshake and up to 7 cups of coffee with sugar.
Wasn't there a Bob's Big Boy right near where you shot Gilmore Girls? Yes. Danielle, isn't that a Bob's Big Boy?
In Burbank? Right near the Warner Brothers?
Yeah. With a sweet drive-through. It's sort of like a drive-up. It's pretty rad.
Lorelai has just gone on and on pretending to be a fellow student in the campus hallways of Harvard. Rory says, "You do realize that all of your college kid jargon comes from Happy Days?" Happy Days is an American sitcom television series that aired on the ABC network spanning 11 seasons. We had the iconic Marion Ross on this podcast. Marion played Marion Cunningham on Happy Days and Tricks on Gilmore Girls. And currently, Henry Winkler is auctioning off his iconic Fonz charity jacket for charity.
I'll bid $1,000 right now.
Not easy for me to say, apparently.
Can you do an impression of the Fonz, Riley?
Hey.
No. Nice.
Hey. Scott liked it.
That's good.
It wasn't great.
Because I didn't know how to do one. That was good.
Hey.
Is that how he did it?
I think you gotta pump it up a little bit more.
Hey. No, one more. That's why I didn't get the job. Hey. Not an old guy in Coney Island. What's wrong with you? That's not the Fonz. Hey.
Riley, don't forget, Joni loves Chachi.
Joni loves Chachi. Lorelai is reading the famous people who have attended Harvard, and Lorelai says, "Oh, cool, Fred Gwynne." Rory says, "Who?" Laura says, "Herman Munster. Now I'm impressed." Fred was an American actor, artist, and author. He was best known for his roles in the 1960s television sitcom Car 54, Where Are You? As Francis Muldoon and as Herman Munster in The Munsters. The Munsters first aired in 1964. It was produced by the creators of Leave It to Beaver. The series was a satire of American suburban life. And Fred's Herman Munster costume was brutally hot. It was essential to keep him cool, not only for his health, but to keep his makeup from melting.
Yeah, town meetings, huh? He had a town meeting every day at work, that guy.
And that's inside his costume.
Wait a minute. That could be misconstrued. I didn't, you know. Anyway, no, I'm just saying he must have been really hot. Yes, thank you.
Lane explains she was in bootleg heaven in Korea. Lane says, "Well, I strapped them to my body like in Midnight Express." Midnight Express is a 1978 prison drama film directed by Alan Parker. The cast includes stars John Hurt and Randy Quaid. This was Sir John Hurt's only movie that he did without first reading the script. And Randy Quaid went a little astray and was charged in 2009 for allegedly defrauding an innkeeper in Santa Barbara.
So random. I didn't know Randy Quaid was in Midnight Express.
I didn't either.
I love him in Independence Day, but I did not know he was in Independence.
Lorelai says she's going out while Rory sits in on the lecture at Harvard. Lorelai says, "Hey, I'm going to go find the ladies' room, you know, sneak a smoke, see if anybody slipped an aspirin in my Coke." Rory says, "Okay, Rizzo, I'd like to stay here and listen a little bit more." This is referring to Rizzo from Grease. Grease is a 1978 American musical romantic comedy film based in 1971 musical. The title Grease was a way for the creators to pay homage to the 1950s and the era greasy hair, greasy engines, and greasy food. The character Rizzo is played by Stockard Channing, and instead of using makeup, Jeff Conaway, Kinnicky, insisted on giving Stockard Channing Rizzo real hickeys, and he did. Remember, a hickey from Kinnicky is like a Hallmark card.
You know, Will Smith just professed his love for Stockard Channing.
Yes!
He fell in love with her on the set of Six Degrees of Separation.
Yes. And I was going to say, can you name Stockard Channing's iconic character on The West Wing?
Well, name the character's name?
Or just who she played. The First Lady. She was the First Lady. She was so amazing.
First Lady doing what?
Married to Martin Sheen's President Bartlett.
No, I didn't watch the show.
You've never seen The West Wing?
I'm not a big consumer of television.
You would love The West Wing.
I like
you
movies. Would. I don't like a watch. I don't watch a lot.
Give The West Wing a try because it's like a movie a week. It's so good.
Really?
You would love it.
I'm going to check it out for you. I'm going to check it out.
Watch the pilot and get back to me, because it's like probably the best television show in the history of time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Top 10 for sure.
Better than Billions?
Yep. No, it is. It
can't be better than Billions.
I can't say that it's better than Gilmore Girls, but it can't is be. Top 10 of all time.
Can't be. Can't be better.
It is. Watch it.
Wow. Where can I get it? Where can I get it? At my local grocery store?
Yeah. Or anywhere you stream television. Ah. I think it's on Netflix. Ah. I think it's on Netflix. Yeah, you can get it on Amazon.
I'll rummage around some discount bins. See if I can pick up a couple of episodes.
Yeah, I think it's also a Warner Brothers show, just like Gilmore Girls. They must have filmed it right near you.
Maybe your local Blockbuster?
Yeah, go to Blockbuster.
Go to Blockbuster and get some. Okay. Danielle, you're very silent today. What's up? You're over there kind of drifting.
I can't concentrate.
Why? What's wrong?
Because Riley's reading, you're playing guitar, and I'm just here.
Are you losing your mind? You're losing your mind over there?
It's so good, but I can't. I feel like I'm like, I don't even know where I interject.
You gotta, no, it's like a band. Okay, so like it's like a band freestyling. It's like some Riley's Miles Davis, and we're like, you know, I'm a trumpet player and Amy's a bassoon and you're on whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's as good as that, Scott, but. I don't know.
And so finally.
Yeah, come on. Play the spoon or something. Play the spoon. Speak in French. All right, speak in a French accent and play the spoon. Go ahead.
Riley, could you give us a John Travolta impression?
I think I can. Sandy.
Sandy. Nice. You're nailing stuff.
Thank you.
Just nailing stuff.
You know, some people are given talents.
Yeah.
You just gotta use them.
Yes. Some people are robbed of their talents and they're given to other people like Riley. And some people are robbed of their voice on certain days, like Danielle. What's going on? Danielle, say something. Say something. Interject.
Interject. Danielle, do you have a Grease impression you could do?
Come on, something. You screeching car tire? Something. Good.
Can you give a Fonzie impression?
Yeah, something. Fonzie. Dead air is not good. All right, we'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Come on, you can do it.
Talk about it, stud. That's the
nice.
That's
the tell me about it.
Tell me about it, stud.
Yeah, but can you do it for real?
Tell me about it, stud.
No.
Is your cat sick?
No.
What's going on?
No.
I got a thumbs up from Riley. I'm gonna take a good thumbs up.
God, go watch Grease. Try it again. You have to like slow it down. Tell me about it, stud.
Tell me about it, stud.
There was no pause, Scott. He did not
tell
pause.
Me about it, stud.
You tell all me need about to go it,
stud.
I mean, tell okay. me about it. That's it for pop culture.
That's it. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my favorite line was from LaDawn, the kooky bed and breakfast owner, and she says, the whole thing with the bell just cracked me up. I'm not usually sitting here when guests arrive, so people ring the bell, and they love to ring the bell, and you didn't get to ring the bell.
I am a grown woman. This was actually during the fight, says the woman with a Hello Kitty waffle iron.
I guess there's a lot of them, but it was, for me, it was just one word that Lorelai said to the college student that was hitting on her. The very last thing she said to him was Geechee or Geechee. And that is a term. What is that? A term from the 50s or something like that? It's a term from Happy Days or something.
Oh my God,
and it was so out of whack with back then, even with 2000, 2001. I got a good chuckle out of that one.
Okay. And my favorite line is from Suki yet again. And it was when she said, "You are a good cake, Clyde. I never should have named you."
Yeah, that was good. The poor cake was so beautiful.
Poor cake.
She just gave the piece away. It was so sad.
She started chopping from the bottom, and I was worried the whole thing was going to topple over. There was anxiety created there because I thought, just cut from the top. Take a slice from, well, what do I know? I don't know anything about building wedding cakes.
It stressed me out too, but then I was like, probably every other layer is fake, so she had to cut the bottom.
Oh, that is an excellent point. Is that what they do?
Well, on wedding cakes, the ones that are really tall, sometimes like the very top ones are just like styrofoam.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine paying $1,000 for a cake and you bite into styrofoam? Wow. Wedding controversy. Wow. No Michelle in this episode, right?
Oh yeah, that's so weird.
It was missing a Michelle. It was missing Michelle comedy.
Great episode though.
Great episode. Yeah. I mean, it had its moments for me where I wasn't so thrilled, but I kept saying to myself in the beginning, man, you cannot take this show out of Stars Hollow. This is going to be a tough sledding here if it's just going to be these two carrying this. But
that did not bother me as much as it bothered you.
Beginning, but I thought they did very well. They brought it around and it turned out to be great, you know?
Yeah, you didn't mind Harvard.
No, I loved all the Harvard stuff. Loved it all.
I loved it all, other than I'm very curious what everyone listening thinks. Mm-hmm. If we got it right about that mm-hmm. argument, or if James got it right. So that'll be really interesting.
We did. They're just gonna pillory us. We're gonna get lambasted for this. We're gonna all get on our sleds and sled away here. Thanks everybody for downloading. You're the best fans in the world. We love you. We need you. We need your comments. I am Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast, iHeartRadio 111 production. Stay safe, everyone. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com, scottyp.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.